Hello, welcome to this week's Opening Bell. I'm boxing news editor Tris Dixon, joined by my trusty sidekicks Matt Christie and John Dennan. John, how are things going?
Pretty good.
What are you doing out there at the moment?
Chilling. No, I'm currently doing a ring round to find out what some of the big names in boxing make of the Carl Froch George Groves fight.
Without specifying any names, because I know we've got quite a good guest list building for next week's issue already, what's the general consensus? What way are people leaning towards at the moment?
So far, Froch, mostly, though, you know, one or two are tipping Groves. Okay. Interestingly, the sort of consensus is more on how they think the fight's going to go. You know, most people seem to be expecting Groves to you know, hit and move, stay mobile, stay away from Froch, and their concern for him is that if his sort of desire to get into a scrap gets the better of him, then that's when he's on dodgy ground against Carl Froch. So,
Matt, what are you up to out there?
Just trying to get hold of Carl Froch. I've got the job of writing the preview, which is good because I've a lot of my time recently has been dedicated to the website, if not all of my time. So it's nice to do some writing again, to be honest. But I'm just waiting on a few words from Carl.
It's starting to sound like an appraisal.
See if he can convince me that he's going to win the fight.
It's one of the reasons why it's so crucial, I think, to speak to someone. I particularly remember doing the preview for Carl's fight with Arthur Abraham, and I spoke to Abraham, and it was one of those fights where a lot of people were undecided. I think with hindsight, there were a lot of people who were very wise after that particular event, but going into that fight, I think people were expecting a real shootout, and I was too. I thought it was going to end up that way, but speaking to Carl, it was one of the ones where he didn't sell himself. You can just sometimes tell with someone's voice and the language they use. You can tell how they're taking the fight, and I knew what that fight meant to Carl, and I ended up tipping him, which I'm not sure I would have done if I hadn't spoken to both fighters beforehand. So make sure you get hold of him.
But you've spoken to Groves. I mean, he's been quite interesting in the build up to this fight. What did you
I was anticipating a slightly more excitable or obviously nervous fighter, but he's still got that same kind of that same mindset that he had that the majority of listeners undoubtedly spotted on that famous or infamous episode of Ringside a couple of weeks ago. And he's still like that. He still seems absolutely and utterly convinced that he's going to win the fight. And to me, his confidence makes this a far more interesting spectacle than it was to me when it was first announced, because when it was first announced I was as sure can be that Carl Froch would have far too much for him and it would be over within the first half of the fight.
Interesting stuff. You mentioned earlier that you haven't been able to do a lot of writing, but it's almost as if you've done War and Peace with David Price in the first part of news. What was David Price like this week?
Yeah, as ever, typically honest. I think I said to you after I'd spoke to him on the phone, you could write War and Peace after every time you spoke to David, because he's just so honest with you. He doesn't sidestep any questions. His answers are articulate, they're thought out. And he was a pleasure to speak to. I think the jury is still out on his future. I, for one, am not convinced that he will ever get rid of the mental demons that are there, but he's certainly a fighter that I hope does, and that I hope he succeeds.
You talk about War and Peace there and writing it. I had a good crack at writing War and Peace once.
Once.
And, interesting. The result of that, the latest Ricky Hatton autobiography, War and Peace. Still, product placement done for this issue. Well, actually, I say that. We'll probably be referring to the apps and different things here and there, left, right and centre. But it's been a big week for boxing, inside and outside the ropes. We had Daniel Herbert returning to US duty for us in Corpus Christi, where he saw the return of Nonito Donaire, who toiled for more than 8 rounds against old opponent Victor Arcinian. Matt, were you surprised with the struggle Dunaire had with Arcinian?
No, I wasn't overly surprised. When it got to the ninth round and it looked like Dunaire was possibly going to lose on the cards, I was getting a bit more surprised. And I did say last week that I didn't think it would be easy for Dunaire. By no means, though, did I think it would be that complicated. I thought that Arcinian would last the distance, but Dunaire would win a fairly uneventful decision. But I did anticipate that Dunaire would have some problems going forward. And I think it's that whole mentality that how does a fighter come back after they've been so convincing for so many years? And then they realise that they realise their own mortality, and he had that against Rigondo, who won comprehensively despite one of the scorecards said. So I think it was always going to be a difficult ask for him, and particularly against somebody as fired up as Victor Arcinian, who, let's face it, really really has disliked Dunaire since the first time they fought. But as Daniel Herbert kind of is quite interested in his. The way he looks at the fight, and he just asked the question, will Dunaire ever be the same again? And I think that's a perfectly, perfectly good question to ask at this stage.
John, Dunaire, 30 years old, nearer the end of the journey than the start of the journey, that's for sure, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, watching the fight, I wasn't sure if it was a case of Arcinian being good or Dunaire being poor. I suppose with time to reflect, Dunaire was nowhere near the sort of exhilarating form he'd been in before, but he still got that sort of finishing instinct. He was kind of listless, and then when he had Arcinian going, he didn't let him off the hook.
Yeah,
it's just, will he? You know, can he relight that fire?
I spoke to Dunaire on Monday night. Yeah, it's one of your favourite songs, isn't it? Yeah. I spoke to Dunaire on Monday night. That interview is on the website. I think there's a couple of things that you get from this Dunaire win. Is one, it's even though he didn't box particularly well, he's still the only man to stop Victor Arcinian in around 50 fights, and he's now done it twice. So that takes some going, bear in mind the company Arcinian's been in over the years. Secondly, I think Dunaire's in a way disagreed with this when we spoke. I think he was on a little bit of a hiding to nothing, because the way he took out Arcinian was so sensational back in 2007 that anything less than another clinical knockout victory was going to be seen as some sort of failure. Do you see why I'm thinking along those lines?
Yeah.
Thanks.
but I do completely, because the finish there getting the first fight was spectacular, but also in the first fight he was not struggling, but it was fairly level, wasn't it? So you can kind of draw parallels. But yeah, I did think it was a really, really, I agree with you, I thought it was a really, really curious choice of comeback opponent. But I guess it made marketing sense.
Yeah, I suppose so. And also on that bill, somewhat under Dunaire's radar, I suppose, because everyone knows that Dunaire's got a lot of star power attached to him now. Mikey Garcia fought Roman Martinez. You've seen Roman Martinez up close and personal before, Matt. No real surprise though that he came up short against Garcia.
No, Garcia really looks like the real deal. And I think, you know, he came back free. He lost perhaps the first couple of rounds, took a while to get going, but the finish, the shot to the body was something special. And I'll be really interested to see where Garcia goes. And I've heard a few people mention, that they'd like to see him in against Yuri Orkis Gamboa. So, you know, are we at last going to see a super fight for Gamboa?
It's been long enough, hasn't it? I think we've been talking about Gamboa fighting in big, entertaining fights for the best part of a couple of years. Somewhat unsurprisingly, style-wise, the clash between Demetrius Andrade and Varnes Martirosyan didn't really catch fire, did it, John?
No, well, I suppose when Martirosyan knocked him down, it suddenly got interesting, but didn't really, he had its sort of highest moment early on. But it's interesting now that, they're talking about Brian Rose next for Andrade.
Yeah, definitely. And I see Eddie Hearn tweeted earlier that they are going to try and get Andrade over here. I think it's a fight that Rose will need every advantage possible for. John, on that undercard, there's someone that we both like the look of. You saw him in the unpaid code, and I've seen him a couple of times on pro shows in the States. Oscar Valdez looks to be cutting a bit of a swathe through the ranks. He's someone to be excited about, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely, with the style that he fights in as well. Though I didn't think he was as good in this most recent bout, because his opponent was, I think I'd seen him before on the Friday night show, ahead of Bradley Marquez, and his opponent was awful. So, it's probably a bit too cruel to say it, but he probably should have stopped him a bit sooner. But then maybe, you know, Jesus Luli Rea is one tough guy.
Yeah, quite possibly. Looking ahead to this weekend, big fight on Box Nation and in the States on HBO. Sees Andre Ward going in with Edwin Rodriguez. Monte Carlo earlier in the year, and he beat Denis Gratchev in a round, and in maybe not a surprising result, but certainly a surprising manner of the win. Matt, what's the chances of him being the man to upset the Andre Ward apple cart?
Pretty slim. I do rate Rodriguez. I think he's a solid super middleweight, world-class contender. But, you know, I mean, you can kind of say that Ward has been out for over a year now. Is he going to suffer any ring rust? I still think he's going to have far too much for Rodriguez.
It's a bit of a weird fight for Ward, because, you know, after winning the Super 6, looking so good against Carl Froch, dominating Chad Dawson, a big name, Rodriguez, it's a bit of a sort of, you know, sort of a marking time fight, even though this is his comeback after a long time out. You'd think a fighter as good as Ward would want to go straight in with a big name.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is for Ward is, who are the big names? And I think he might well have a close eye on the Carl Froch George Groves fight. Not necessarily because they're going to be the best challengers for Ward, although they could be, worth to see, but because the UK pay-per-view market is very lucrative and Ward seems to want a lot of money in a short space of time, so if he can get over here and get on Sky Box Office and on HBO, then that's going to be the shortcut to the big bucks, because he's cleaned out the division, taken the best light heavyweight. There's not really anywhere for him to go. I mean, the fight that I'd love to see would be him at 164 pounds catch weight with Golovkin. But I can't see that being made anytime soon on either side.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting. It's almost as if he's kind of set his stall and saying, right, I'm staying at super middleweight. Like you say, he's completely cleaned out the division. Okay, he fought Dawson at was it 170 or was that 168? I can't remember. I'm not sure. I think it was 168 in the end, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But there's certainly options for him if he does want to, because to me he looks like one of the best fighters in the sport. There are options, like you say, at middleweight against Golovkin, and also at light heavyweight as well if he wants to make that step up with the likes of Kovalev and Stevenson. There's some big fights up there to really, really test himself.
And they're all HBO names. HBO names as well, which is half the battle these days.
Yeah.
So Chavez Jr., if he can make super middleweight.
Yeah. Ward's made the noise about Chavez Jr. In the past, because we've got an interview again that Danny Flexen's done with him this week. He's made no secret in the past, has he, that he's looking for pay-per-view dance partners, has he? That's what he's after. And I suppose until he gets those, he's going to tick over against average opposition.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Glad we're all in agreement. Matt, I know you love your Wild and Woolly heavyweights. Quick one for you. There's a clash in upstate New York this week. Thomas Adamek against Vyacheslav Glazkov. Should be a fun fight, shouldn't it?
Yeah, Adamek is one of those. He's rarely in a dull fight. But he looked decent last time out. But I think that perhaps this could be a win. I think this could be a win for Glazkov, and this could be the end of Adamek's lengthy spell at the top. And I think Adamek really, I think when we look back on his career and there's some years has passed, that we'll really, really respect what he's done in the sport, because I think he's done really well what he's done at light heavyweight, then to cruiserweight, and he's been a perennial contender now at heavyweight as well.
Now, John, we've got Paul Wheeler going to Glow Shopping Centre Glow Nightclub at Bluewater this weekend to watch James Degale. Are you excited about Degale's return to the ring against Dyer Davis?
I'm looking forward to see Gael's, you know, show off his skills, and if he can, like he says, make a statement. You know, I think De Gea would be, you know, a great opponent for the winner of Froch or Groves. Dyer Davis as an opponent is probably isn't going to get the pulse racing, and he has looked quite, you know, negative in some of his recent outings. Sakho Bika just sort of laid into him for a few rounds. So, I mean, if he goes into his shell, it might not be. It might take a while for this fight to get going.
The girls,
I like De Gea. You know, I enjoy watching him. You know, show his stuff.
De Gea's been quite outspoken in the issue here, particularly about his promoter Mick Hennessy, and wanting a world title fight. But now this is the time and place for De Gea to show what he's made of, isn't it? Against the likes of Dyer Davis, because he needs to shine against this level of opposition if he's got any right to be calling out world champions.
Yeah, he does. But you know, it's interesting, like you say, that he's publicly putting pressure on his promoter. I suppose in the, you know, if we in the press want to see him in a world title, well, I guess we should be beating that drum too. And but so far he has done, you know, in his recovering from losing to George Groves, he has done everything that's been asked of him. You know, winning the European title straight after that. His previous opponent, if I get his name right, Bozic, something like
Stefan
that.
Stefan Bozic.
Bozic, yeah. You know, he looked good against him.
Yeah, him.
Whoever that guy was. But that guy had, you know, beaten Froch in the amateurs in a long distant past, admittedly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think he probably will do the business on this occasion.
Matt, is James De Gea going to be the first English gold medalist to win a world title?
I think so. I think he would do well against the majority. I wouldn't pick him over Andre Ward, for example, but any of the other champions, Karl Froch included, I'd give him a real, real chance of toppling.
Sakho Bika, which one he's mentioned?
Yeah, I think I'd pick him over Bika. I really, really like De Gea as a fighter. I like where he's going. I think he's got his head on the job now. I think the Groves fight was a wake-up call for him. And he seems to be going in the right direction. I could understand deep down that Dyer Davis may be a bit of a letdown for him, and that's no disrespect to Dyer Davis, but Dyer Davis still isn't that stepping stone. He's not a sturdy enough stepping stone to take him over to the other side where the world title belts are waiting.
Or if they fast-track Luke Campbell to a world title shot.
Yeah, who knows? The race is on. But I think De Gea could only feasibly, you know, he's ranked with the organisations. I think he's only a fight or two away, isn't he, from being it, from yeah. You know, he's really knocking on the door, isn't he? So
he's probably behind schedule. You thought maybe this year he would have got his
well,
shot.
They sort of seem to say it does seem to be a sort of a bit of a 4-year plan for Olympians to be knocking on the door for world titles. So this is obviously now 5 years on, but generally they've had more fights than De Gea has after four or five. Years, but we'll see. Some interesting stuff within the magazine. You'll see our cover story features Manny Pacquiao. We've infiltrated the Pac-Man's camp in the Philippines to bring you a feature, some stuff, basically some behind the scenes stuff with Freddie Roach and what it's been like in camp and the conversations he's been having with Manny Pacquiao behind closed doors. Some really fascinating stuff in there. Matt, if you could say anything to Manny Pacquiao ahead of the Brandon Reels fight, what would it be if you were his trainer and you were advising him?
That's changed.
Yeah, I was going
to ask him if I could join him for a beer afterwards and interview him. I don't know, what can you say? I think you're asking the wrong person. I don't know. I think with him, it's going to be the mental aspect, isn't it? It really depends what they've been working on in camp. Have they just presumed that Manny Pacquiao is still the Manny Pacquiao of old, or are they working on new techniques? It really depends, but I think for Pacquiao to have any chance of coming again and being a major pound-for-pound player, he's got to have that belief back. And from what I've seen and what I've read, it's there.
John, what do you make of A, what's been written, and B, what Manny Pacquiao's got left?
I mean, it's It's interesting in Scully's, in John Scully's guest column, the way he says we're just not going to know until we see it in the ring. So, I mean, I suppose I'm dodging the question by saying that.
Entirely, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But, I think he would be a special boxer if he can bounce back to get close to the way he was before that crushing, knockout. But I don't think it's over for him yet. You know, especially if this, you know, maybe he's entering the final stage of his career, but there could still be a few more glorious nights in the Far East.
Brandon Rios is a 9-2 underdog, Manny Pacquiao 1-5 favourite, which shows firmly where the bookies are heading on that fight. Some interesting odds on fights coming up, but there's ones that I can't find for now. I'm sure I'll be able to find them a little bit later on. But Matt, you know we talk about draws once in a while.
Yeah.
What do you reckon the odds of Paulie Malignaggi Zab Judah finishing in a draw is? What would you say? I mean, do you think that's got to be worth a cheeky fight or 25-1, for example?
I reckon, yeah. That's one of the fights that you would think could end up a draw.
I quite fancy that Brooklyn draw.
I was thinking about that fight today, and I was thinking it could be an absolute stinker, or it could be one of those surprise fights.
A bit like Cotto Malignaggi, where it just
turns into an absolute war.
Yeah.
Because they've both got it in them to have that kind of fight.
Domestic or local pride at stake and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
But then will that local pride make them a bit safety first, not wanting to take any chances? You just don't know, do you?
I think it will catch fire. I think it will.
So, Matt, something that listeners won't know at the moment is that at the moment you have a choice, don't you, of going to New York for that big show at Brooklyn or maybe going to Texas for the Broner Maidana show. What I'd like to know is which show listeners would like to send you to, whether it would be New York or Texas. So if they could just tweet me and hashtag New York or hashtag Texas, then we'll try and work out where's best to send you.
I'd appreciate that. I've got some prices actually for you, but maybe we
can
talk about
that.
Hear
what John said, can they tweet other options? Hashtag one way. But at the moment, what's your preference, New York and Texas, and why?
I'd like to see Broner Maidana. I think I'd rather be in the surrounds of New York. I've got a feeling, as I said before, that Judah Malignaggi be something special. I'd like to be there for that, and I'd like to see the build up to that fight. It's a difficult one, but it's a privileged kind of decision to have to make.
No, it's not.
But it ultimately, it's going to come down to cost and what have you, isn't it? So we'll
of course it is.
We're not going to be on this Twitter poll, is it?
Well, it might well be. So remember that. Yeah, hashtag. just send a quick tweet me quickly. Either hashtag Texas or hashtag New York, and let's see what we get. And we'll discuss the results in the next one. John, what are you trying to get? You're trying to get a word in edgeways, I can see.
I'm free to do the other one.
Okay. So moving swiftly onwards. In fact, we know that Jack Hirsch will be at both shows. So, Matt, you can always opt out. You could have hashtag opt out if you want.
Or could have hashtag both, as was originally mentioned.
Hashtag blown budget. Okay. So what else is coming up then this week, Matt? What have you got on your plate work-wise?
Sorry? Well, I thought I just had to sort out where I was going in America. Oh, no. I mean, I've got more to do.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, no.
What's coming up?
Well,
obviously, you've got to try and pin down Carl Froch and then...
Yeah, we've got that. There's obviously going to... I'm not sure when people are listening to this, whether it will have happened or not, but we're going to Prize Fighter on Thursday night. So I'll have the report to write on that. And there's quite a few things I need to look at on the website.
Some interesting stuff coming up on the website. John, anything particularly that that you need to do this week?
There's quite a lot on the Froch Groves build up still to be done. I'm trying to get coaches to analyze how to beat each man, packed amateur section to put together. So I'm busy, honest.
And you got a lot of being active stuff on the go as well, haven't you?
Yeah.
Which is great. So yeah, we're all busy. I'm off to China next week. just thought I'd add that in. but yeah, it's
can
been
readers tweet if they want you to go to China or
No. Hashtag enjoy trip. Okay. All right, guys. Well, look, we appreciate you listening. If there is a possibility, we're going to try and get a podcast up on Friday after Prize Fighter. We're going to have to see about that. If not, we'll be back next week, or certainly Matt will be back next week, either with John or with an exalted special guest. We'll have to see. But appreciate you downloading this week, and look forward to speaking to you all soon.